time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the Coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning to you, Martin.
Morning, Gillian.
You have some news for us regarding a waste dump in Limpopo that has been turned into a prospective treasure trove.
That's right. And we have this situation where magnetite has been building up over decades at Palabora Mining, where they mine copper. And this contains 58% iron. And people have gone in, metallurgists, year after year to try and work out how they're going to turn this to account. And now we have a bunch of entrepreneurs going in there and cracking the code. And I actually saw the product coming off their production line this week in their pilot experimental plant. So we have turned what is a waste product, so you've got an environmental benefit, into briquetted iron, cold briquetted iron of high value. And there is so much of this waste lying around the world. It's not just Palabora, next door at Foscor, there's a lot of this waste, and all over the world, in West Africa, in Brazil, and in Canada. So we now have a situation where there's a global opportunity for this company, which is the Iron Mineral Beneficiation Services. Already the Russians have rushed in, and Severstal has bought a share of this because the Severstal wants to be involved in this metallic iron, as they call it around the world. They've got a royalty situation, and they've introduced this South African company already to an opportunity in Canada, where it looks like an even bigger 2 million ton plant is going to eventuate. And this goes into the electric arc furnace method of making steel, which is the preferred method at the moment. You know, the blast furnace method has been outlawed in Europe, has been outlawed in US. Only in China are new blast furnace situations going that are so dependent on iron ore. But this is an advance, because it could introduce what we call the mini mill that we've been looking for, that you don't have this huge investment, that you can actually have a steel emanating from much smaller mills with much smaller investment. So it could open a new way of steel making.
And on to some other interesting news. South Africa and Brazil teaming up to develop a surface-to-air missile. Tell us a bit about that.
There are formal talks going on now between the Brazilian Navy and South Africa around the surface-to-air missile possibility, the Umkhonto. You know, that's meaning spear. We already use those on our own naval vessels, but we use the infrared guidance type. What the Brazilians are looking for really is what we know as Umkhonto R, which is the radar homing type. So we're in a situation in South Africa where the Department of Defense has been keeping the concept of the Umkhonto R going along, but not actually funding it for development. Now, the Brazilians are coming in and say, we can co-develop this. We can also put funds into this to develop the Umkhonto R and then put it on new frigates, which we're planning to buy. And of course, they also had a great deal with us with the ADARTA program. That's an air-to-air missile, and that was very successful. So this is opening the way, and now they're looking to possibly also a surface-to-air missile in the ADARTA range, because we know that they've got 2014 FIFA World Cup coming up. They've also got the 2016 Olympics, and they want to firm up their air cover.
Now, you mentioned the ADARTA. I think that the amount of $130 million was bandied about at the time, and it was said that the first 100 to 200 units would be sold internationally. Do they have that same vision for the new project, that they would sell the Umkhonto internationally?
Well, typically in defense, keeps everything close to their chest. They take a long time to gestate. So you've got to look from a distance, but the possibilities are there. And we see that Danel, which is behind all this, South Africa's state-owned corporation, has already got Danel do Brasil.
Oh, very interesting. And on to some other very interesting news as well. Canada-listed Rockwell Diamonds going all out to boost its South African ownership. Now, apparently only 8% of its shareholders are in South Africa. Is that why?
That's correct. You have a situation now where companies mining in South Africa, the resources in South Africa, these diamonds in South Africa, they beneficiate them in South Africa, but they've got to go to Canada to get money, because our Johannesburg Stock Exchange, the investors are very risk averse. And so they don't go into these situations where there could be risk, but also high reward. So people have to go to Canada. The Canadians, who are thousands of kilometers away, see fit to invest, as they have done in this Rockwell Diamonds. And if you go to Toronto and you look at some of those skyscrapers, many of them have been built on the profits of mining. Why? Because the government has come to the party in Canada where they give a flow-through scheme. There's an incentive for exploration activities which gives people confidence to go into these ventures, many of which really prove greatly beneficial. We don't have that. We did go to the government in South Africa as the investor community in South Africa and say, look, can't we have a flow-through type scheme? And we saw it coming through the budget saying, yes, they're going to investigate this. And they finally said, no, we'll have something better in South Africa than a flow-through scheme. And they gazetted it. It is so parsimonious. It is so stingy beyond belief that it hasn't had one uptake, which shows you that, it's just a non-starter. So the Minister of Finance, Pravin Gordhan, has said, look, he's willing to take in new submissions to see how we can do better in this. But in the meantime, you've got Rockwell Diamonds listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, determined to move that 8% South African ownership to a far greater level. And you see it's now led by James Campbell, that's the new CEO. He comes from Botswana, where he was with African Diamonds. He lifted the percentage on of African Diamonds ownership, local Botswana ownership, to 20% there. And that's what you see in neighboring Botswana. You see the investors coming in and they're listing on the Botswana Stock Exchange. We do black economic empowerment here. They do very broad-based encouragement of people to get onto the stock exchange there. So all their pension funds, provident funds, and retail investors can get in on the ground floor. And this is a sort of concept we have to regenerate in South Africa.
Now, if Rockwell Diamonds does manage to boost its South African ownership, is that going to be a mutually beneficial relationship?
So, potentially mutually beneficial. We now got our resources in which we as investors aren't having a share in. Even neighboring Botswana sees the advantage of people having a share in their own resources. Why should foreigners have the full share of our resources coming on the ground floor and as these things develop, get all the benefit? And we can see it in Toronto when we visit there.
Martin, thank you for joining us again on AM Live. Martin Creamer is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday.